perspective. Dr. Shane Reti is with us, our Minister of Health. Thanks for your time, Shane. Tēnā koe.
Morena Dale, good to speak with you.
And you too. Hey, what's up with Karen Patasi? I see that she has resigned. She chaired Te Whatu Ora, Dame Karen Patasi. She's leaving because she disagrees with the direction that Te Whatu Ora is being forced to take. Or that's the impression we get. What can you flesh out about Karen Patasi and her intentions?
Well, several things. Firstly, we don't discuss employment issues. And then secondly, I want to look back at her body of work prior to taking over Health New Zealand after Rob Campbell was dismissed, and say what a body of work that, of course, resulted in the damehood. And then she stepped into the breach, stabilised the ship, and has brought us to this position, and indeed has agreed to stay on and help us see through this transition. So quite a body of work over many, many years. I've known Dame Karen for many, many years, and one can only say thank you for her contribution.
Okay, thank you. There's some talk of corporate ownership models from offshore being used in our country as well. What would you say of corporate ownership of general practices in this country and appearing to grow rapidly? It looks a little like a USA model of health. Your thoughts here on corporate ownership of GP services?
So several things. First of all, these are private businesses, and so they're open to market supply and demand and market ownership conditions. And then secondly, some of the corporates bring a, because of their critical mass, they bring a standardisation of care across the range of practices that they acquire. Having said that, I do think a model that has a balance of a corporate and non-corporate is generally best, because sometimes the non-corporates, that is the smaller four- and five-person practices, can be more flexible, and sometimes they embody more of that traditional style of general practice care, which we've known for many, many years, which, of course, needs to modernise over time. I understand that. But I'm of a view at this point that probably a mixed model of corporate and non-corporate is a good setting to have.
Tēnā koe, Shane. I'll ask a few questions and then open the door for you to talk with us about what you think might benefit us all knowing, if that's okay with you. Starting with eligibility criteria for free influenza vaccinations, that's altered. How's this going to impact Ngāi Māori?
Oh, so we need to remember that the settings last year only came from one-off COVID funding. And again, if you wanted to call it a fiscal cliff, that funding wasn't forward funded, so there was no ability to continue it this year. Secondly, if we also reflect that for those who have underlying medical conditions such as asthma, that is those conditions that are more prevalent for Māori and Pacifica, their flu vaccine is still free. And then thirdly, if we imagine part of the initiatives include those children who are discharged, particularly the 0 to 4s, who are discharged from a hospital, they get their flu vaccine free as well. So those who have the greatest need in that list of conditions, they're still going to be able to receive a free flu vaccine.
Tamariki and whānau, when they do get sick, isn't it going to cost more in terms of doctor's visits and A&E now that some aren't eligible for the free flu vaccines?
Sorry, did you say, are they still able to go to A&E? Was that your question?
Well, isn't that where they'll end up because they haven't been vaccinated against flu?
Oh, look, that's a really good connection to make, and that's why the flu vaccine is so important, because we know that it reduces the burden of disease and consequently reduces the number of presentations to ED and some that may even then need to be hospitalised. So a really strong case for the place of the influenza vaccine and strongly encouraging it. In fact, the Prime Minister and myself had our flu vaccine at a whānau in Auckland about 2 weeks ago, as I recall, by means of support of the program. But I come back to my first point that for Māori and Pacifica who have underlying conditions, that is, they're more likely to catch the flu, and I've used the example of asthma, the flu vaccine remains free to them.
Tēnā koe. Any COVID updates? We haven't spoken of it for ages, but, you know, there I know people who've got lingering coughs. Their doctor said, it's still COVID.
Yeah, that's quite right. I was looking at figures earlier in the week, and we still have around about 150 people in hospital with COVID or COVID contributing to their diagnosis. So it's certainly still around. Remember, it looks like we get two peaks a year, the December-January peak and maybe the mid-year peak. So we are in that that interim at the moment. Key point, though, COVID is still around. It is still putting people in hospital beds, and for those who are due to have a booster or update their COVID vaccine, that would be a very good thing to do as well.
Thanks, Shane. Some raised eyebrows, and more perhaps, that the surgical centre at North Shore Hospital is underutilised. What is behind that, and how can it be resolved?
Oh, well, we need to remember under the previous government, it was supposed to open 1 December, and they were unable to consummate that. Secondly, its final walkthrough from council was 1 April, so what's that, 15 days ago. And then secondly, the centre itself is a new model of care. It's sort of modelled on the county's Manukau Super Clinic, whereby you split elective and acute care. So it's an elective planned care centre. What that means is urgent stuff won't go there, just your planned care. What we know that when we split acute and elective, we're able to do much more surgery, because as you'll understand, you're not having to cancel planned care because something's come in through ED that's a higher priority. You can just march through your waiting list in a day knowing you're probably going to get end-to-end without acute disruptions. What we also know is that elective care, where it's separated, you're able to get reduced length of stay and basically are more effective. And so what's happening there at Totara Haumaru is we're bringing together the workforce from across the Auckland metropolitan area, and it will be one of these new models of care, again, similar to County's Manukau Super Clinic, where we have only do elective stuff there. And in these next few months, I'm excited to look at starting to open that up and start marching through our waiting list.
Tēnā koe, I mentioned that perhaps you're doing mahi that we're unfamiliar with, and so the stage is yours for a moment, please, Shane, to share with us, and obviously this is the Māori radio station, so interested in health initiatives that will impact and assist our people, if you're comfortable with that. Throw a couple of kaupapa into the mix that you're working on and that we can benefit from knowing.
Sure. So what I'm spending a lot of time on is making sure we're prepared for what's been described as the impending measles epidemic. And I worry deeply about this, and particularly for Māori, who have some of the lowest immunisation rates for measles. And if we look at where we were in 2019 when we had the measles outbreak, 2,000 people affected, 700 went to hospital. By the skin of our teeth, we avoided a death. Samoa, as you recall, was not so fortunate. We exported it and they died. So if we look at the rates we had in 2019, we're about 10% less today for measles vaccination rates for Māori than we were in 2019. And so if we were lucky, just barely lucky in 2019, I don't think we're going to have that same sort of luck now that we're 10% lower. So working really hard on a measles preparedness plan, looking at all the vaccination routes available. So you saw us bring pharmacy online a few weeks ago and the ability for them to give childhood vaccines. We're working with Plunkett. We're working with Tamariki Order providers. We're working with anyone who in their lives and career has been a vaccinator. How do we encourage them to re-credential and be a vaccinator again? And, of course, we're working really hard with the $50 million immunisation program that we announced through Māori Health Providers just before Christmas, making sure that's deployed and making sure that that's out to our remote and rural environments. And if you remember, what that does is it utilises the magic that Māori Health Providers have to get out in remote and rural environments and know their community. And then when they're out in the communities, they serve a universal audience. So they will give a measles vaccine or any of the childhood vaccines to Māori, non-Māori. We used that mechanism and funded it generously to get out there and look at increasing our immunisation rates. So a lot of energy and time in my office working across immunisation generally, but particularly measles.